RCC in Colorado Springs, this is Aircheck, a show about great music in the Pike Peak region and beyond. I'm Jake Brownell, producer at KRCC.
I'm Vicki Greger, music director and host of the Morning Music Mix.
And I'm Jeff Beery, program director here at KRCC. And for this last segment on Aircheck today, got a little something different, a piece of Colorado music history. It's the tale of Ulysses Baxter, who was a 21-year-old musician from Oklahoma City who captivated the world back in 1963 with an incredible and unusual feat of endurance right here on Pikes Peak. Jake, the story comes from you. Take it away.
All right. Well, the story begins, as so many great stories do, with a peanut.
This is Ulysses' actual peanut. Pristine condition. You can see all the nice ridges and bumps and rolls on it. Not in too bad a damage, in a nice khaki color, I guess. A normal 50-year-old peanut, if you want to call it that.
This is David Walker, a volunteer at the Manitou Springs Heritage Center. The peanut he's describing, which currently sits on a black pedestal in a glass case in the little volunteer-run museum, was, at one point, probably the most famous peanut in the country.
Yeah, it was quite spread around back then. I mean, that was the interesting part. It was in Philadelphia, Florida, I believe the Tampa Tribune picked it up. A bunch of places like that. It was kind of interesting.
It was the summer of 1963, and people around the country had their eyes trained on Colorado Springs, where a young musician named Ulysses Baxter was doing something remarkable. On hands and knees, over the course of 8 days, he pushed this very peanut all the way up Pike's Peak with his nose.
It was an amazing deal. I mean, if you could think of it, I mean, what does it take to push a peanut across this floor? You know, think of up 14,000 feet. It'd be kind of crazy.
It was kind of crazy. Over the 8 days that Baxter spent inching his way up the mountain, he was exposed to the elements, battered by the trail, and pushed to the brink of exhaustion. But the 21-year-old came out the other side with national notoriety and an incredible story to tell.
It was a success, but it was a very rough go. I would never try it again.
This is Ulysses Baxter. He's 74 years old today, living in his hometown of Oklahoma City. But in 1963, Baxter was traveling the country with a rock and roll group called Carlos and the Rockets.
Well, we did quite a variety of everything. I mean, Carlos, of course, did rock and roll, and but we had the dancers and... We even had a monkey in the act. We had Native American dancers in the middle of the show. I was a featured vocalist and very fortunate to get that gig, I think, as we called it.
The group was headed to Las Vegas, but stopped to play some shows in Colorado Springs along the way. As Baxter remembers it, while they were in Colorado Springs, the group's manager heard about a man named Bill Williams, a Texan who in 1929 pushed a peanut up the Pikes Peak Highway with his nose for a $500 bet. The manager saw an opportunity.
So he decided that I should do it for whatever reason. Muscular dystrophy, we were going to do it for muscular dystrophy. And Oxford offered Jerry Lewis's telethon. And so they convinced me to do it, reluctantly.
As Baxter and his team made preparations for the push, they learned that Jerry Lewis had backed out. They searched for other charity angles, but after another fell through, it became clear that Baxter's feat would be his own. It took a bit more convincing, but he ultimately agreed.
So I agreed to do it, and front page news the next day. Singer to Pikes Peak with Proboscis, I think, was a headline.
With the media alerted, fans excited, and a rescue team ready to assist, Baxter began his ascent.
I started on the 9th of July. I did a show at the entrance of Bar Trail with me in the tuxedo and dancing girls and Carlos and the Rockets and the mayor and the press. And when I started in front of CBS cameras and everything, the mayor gave me the peanut, and we had a coffee spoon fits attached to my nose. And it broke right away. And I'm on national television, and I'm on cameras and press, and so I pushed the peanut until all the press and the people kind of started scattering with my nose. And it was all cut up, and it was televised, so there's a lady brought out a salad spoon type thing with a headband, and that's what I used for the rest of the trip.
Baxter made his way up the mountain with the salad spoon attached to his nose and the peanut wrapped in tape to protect it from the elements. Each day, he'd make a little bit of progress up the rocky, 13-mile-long bar trail. He moved slowly, on all fours, and he was followed the whole way by enthusiastic supporters.
It got an amazing amount of attention and respect, and along the trail, the tourists coming on and applauding for me and talking to me. And I remember one morning, I was asleep on the trail, and this lady's shaking me, waking me up, putting my autograph early in the morning.
But the trip wasn't without its challenges. On the very first night, Baxter got caught on the mountain in a bad storm and received no help from his manager, who was overseeing the ascent.
The next day, the manager came up and he said, "Son, the radio TV stations and the people called and said, you got to get that boy off the mountain. I mean, we're going to have a terrible storm." He said, "Son," I told him, "we went up and talked to him, and he won't come down until that peanut's to the top." Of course, I knew nothing about it. He was probably sitting back watching television, comfortable, and we're up in the middle of that storm.
And then there was the pain.
It was, I think in the one interview I saw that I did, I said it was hell, that I'd crawled in every imaginable way. No matter with the padding on your knees and elbows, all the skin, I was down to the cartilage and bone. But you got to remember, I just turned 21 in June, and we started less than a month after turning 21. So I was pretty young. And motivation is greater than skill or intellect. And I was motivated and determined, I'm going to do this.
His efforts paid off. By the time he reached the top of Pike's Peak, Baxter had become a national sensation. The story had been carried on radio, TV, and in newspapers around the country. People couldn't get enough of the rock and roll musician and his peanut-pushing adventure. On the morning of July 17th, 8 days after he began, Baxter crossed the finish line at the summit of Pike's Peak. He estimates that there were hundreds of people waiting for him, including his bandmates, who brought their instruments to play him through the home stretch.
I call it the trail as it hits the flat part of the summit, and the band's already playing. I just started singing and did a few numbers. And signed a lot of autographs in the press, and that was the conclusion of my push. I was very relieved and quite proud that I accomplished it, and kind of ready to leave the show. I mean, I was kind of angry at my manager for setting all that up, and kind of determined to show him also.
Soon after his feat, Baxter left Carlos and the Rockets. He returned home to Oklahoma to recover from the ordeal, and then formed a new band and started recording and touring under his own name.
Mother, congratulate your son.
He released songs like Mother, Congratulate Your Son and Beautiful Woman.
My father said, "Son, well, there'll be days you love a woman, but you'll hate her ways. Oh, beautiful woman, a beautiful woman, a beautiful woman with ugly ways."
Before long, he was getting calls to play on national TV shows. He performed on CBS's I've Got a Secret show, and even made an appearance on the Steve Allen show.
He was like Jimmy Kimmel today. He had the Late Show in the 60s. And he challenged me to a peanut push down Hollywood. I was pushing peanuts with Steve Allen and Cliff Arquette.
Baxter was living his dream. His music career was taking off. He appeared on TV shows and got acting and modeling gigs. The peanut-pushing feat had launched him onto the national stage. But for all the exposure it got him, it also came with baggage.
I had a lot of musicians and famous big bands that were very critical of the fact that I did that, and they were very angry to my face and told me what a jerk I was, that you had to pay your dues in show business. We worked 20 years before we got in a big band or before we got a break. And here you crawl up a mountain pushing a peanut, and you're a disgrace to show business. So I thought kind of asking people to acknowledge that I did that, because I wanted to succeed in different areas and be recognized for my talent, not the fact that I call it Pike's Peak.
Lavender, lavender lace is hiding her face and teardrops that fall.
This is Lavender Lace, another of Baxter's songs from the mid-60s. Baxter continued his career in music and show business through the early 70s. But despite his successes, at the age of 30, he decided to give it up.
Well, I had a very religious family, and I had brothers, that, a brother that contended that I was killing my mother singing in Las Vegas, and I don't know. They said I was entertaining for the devil, and this was against our religious beliefs. And it's also interfering in marriage and relations, traveling. And so I decided to just do other things.
He admits the decision was a bittersweet one.
Well, of course you miss that. You know, there's nothing like the rush of walking out on the stage with people applauding and liking your show and enjoying your music and, you know, banging on tables and standing on and applauding and... there's nothing quite like that high after you've had a successful show. So I've often regretted that I didn't continue, because I really think I would have achieved the peak that I wanted to reach. I had wished to reach the peak of success of Elvis Presley and Frank Sinatra.
She's loved and lost, and now she's alone.
Nevertheless, Baxter says he went on to have a successful career. He opened a chain of hair salons, developed a cosmetics line, and invested in real estate. Today, he lives in Oklahoma City, where he's active in humanitarian causes and is raising money to open an orphanage. And all these years later, after all the music, the TV appearances, his business career, he says he's learned to embrace his identity as the Pike's Peak peanut pusher. There was a time, he says, when he wanted to escape it, but no longer.
And now, being 74 years of age, and with it being just recognized and talked about through the years, I feel kind of good about the fact that I did it. And I feel good that it seems to be an inspiration. I understand school teachers have used me as an illustration, and you know, I guess your museum there, they said they adapted to one of my sayings of no problem is larger than a peanut and can be conquered with courage and persistence. That's one of their slogans. So it makes me feel good that people are still impressed and like to hear the story. So that makes you feel good.
You can hear more of Baxter's music and see a picture of him from 1963 pushing a peanut up Pike's Peak at krcc.org.